All right, we're starting here at 10 lines from the bottom of Nun Amibet. The Gemara wants to know, with regards to Devar Lameid B'Kal V'Chomer, Ma'ushi Lameid B'Binyanav, if something was established through a Kal V'Chomer, can it then go ahead and be used through a Binyanav to extend that to other areas? Samar Abir Mia Tashma. We have a case like that. Malak V'Nimtzei Treifa. If you did Milika in the Migdash, and then the bird was found to be a Treifa. So Rabbi Meir Omer, Eino mitama bebeit ablia, that doesn't cause tuma when you swallow it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, mitama bebeit ablia. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says it is mitama bebeit ablia. Now, underlying this is the fact that an uf tahor that becomes a nevela is different than a nevela of a behema. Nevela of a behema is mitame bemaga ubemasa. It has tuma, like plastic sort of form of tuma, which if you come into contact with it, or if you carry it, it conveys tuma to the individual. On the other hand, because of the psukim that we'll get to later on in Kodeshim, that is not true with regards to an of tahor. There, tumat nevela only applies when you actually swallow it. It goes into the beit ablia. Other than that, there's no conveyance of tuma. You come into contact with an of tahor that is a nevela. You don't have any tuma. We'd also know that with regards to, say for instance, a behema tehora, means it a kosher animal. If you shech the animal, and then it's found to be a treifa, it has a different terminology. It's known as a treifa, not as a nevela. That is, the shechita is successful at being mitaher of the animal. It takes away the shame nevela, or the shame tuma from it, even though it's unsuccessful at making the behema ksheira. Behema is not edible because it is a treifa, but that's the difference between a treifa and a nevela. So the same thing is true by an oaf, which is a bird that is shechted. When you do the shechita, it changes the bird from being an nevela into a treifa. The question at hand is, in the Mikdash, where there is no shechita for an oaf, the melika is the method for shechting, quote-unquote, a bird in the Mikdash. What is the status of a bird after melika? They find that the bird is a treifa, so it's not edible, cannot be used as a korban. Is that melika successful at removing the shame nevela from the oaf? That's the question. You have a machloket here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says, Eino mitama bebeit ablia means you are successful. Melika does what shechita does in other cases. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, mitama bebeit ablia, melika is not shechita, and therefore it is not mitaher, the bird from nevela to treifa. So I'm Rabbi Meir, kal v'chomer. Rabbi Meir explains his position and says it's a kal v'chomer. Uma nevelat behema. When it comes to nevela behema, shemitam'a b'magao masa, so we discussed when it comes to animals, the conveyance of tuma is through your normal methods of conveyance, which is contact. If you come into contact with it and carry it, you're going to be tamei tumat nevela. Shchitata mitaheret treifata mitumata. Nevertheless, shchita is successful at removing that shame nevela from the animal, changing its status into a treifa. Nevelat of, she'enu mitamei b'maga masa, enu din shetei shchitata, mitahere treifata mitumata. So an of, regular of, in chulin, when you do shchita, certainly that shchita should be successful at removing the shame nevela and making it into a treifa. So here's the first stage, which is a kal v'chomer. If shchita is successful when it comes to an animal, and by an animal, if it was a nevela, it would have regular tuma, maga, masa. And nevertheless, shchita takes it from a world of nevela to the world of treifa, takes away the problem of tuma. Then by a bird, where in the world of nevela for a bird, there's no conveyance of tuma through contact, maga, masa. Only if you eat it, if you swallow it, that you have this tuma. And certainly, the shchita should be successful at removing the shame nevela and making it into a treifa, tumat nevela should not be relevant. So that's the first stage. And then, mematzinu. Here's the binyanav. Binyanav, as Rashi notes, is equivalent to a mematzinu, which is b'shchita shikshmachsharta b'achila. And when it comes to shchita, the purpose of shchita is to make the animal ksheira for consumption. So that's the purpose of shchita. And as a secondary item, it is also mitahere treifata mitumata. It also gives you the advantage that if it is found to be a treifa, it will no longer convey tuma, you will be a treifa. So it has two purposes, the shchita. One is to allow you to eat the animal, Number two is it removes the shame nevela from the animal. So that's true in shechita, whether you're speaking about shechita beima or whether you're speaking about shechita ta'ov, that is the purpose. Then af milika. Milika functions the same way, even though it's a different process, but it functions the same way with regards to kodoshim. Af milika shemachasherta ba'achila. The purpose of the milika in the mikdash is to allow the bird to be eaten by the kohanim. That is the process by which the kohanim can then eat the chatat ta'ov, by olat ta'ov that's going on the mizbeach, but there it's matir to the mizbeach. Nevertheless, the point of a milika is the equivalent of shechita, then titaher treifata mitu mata, and therefore you would assume that it does the other action that's normally done by shechita, which is normally does it make it ra'ui la'achila, it also is mitaheret it from its tumat nevela. That's Rabbi Meir's logic. And embedded in Rabbi Meir's logic is a kal v'chomer. That's the first stage. That's from shechitat beimat to shechitat of. And a second stage was a binyanav. Just like shechita in general functions this way, so too melika and kodeshim should function that way. So you're taking a kal v'chomer, and through that kal v'chomer, then you're trying to use a binyanav from that kal v'chomer. So that should be exactly what we're looking for. The question as to whether in kodoshim you can take a kal v'chomer and then extend it through a binyanav. Rabbi Yossi Omer, daya kinivelat behema tehora sheshchitata mitarata velo milikata. So then Rabbi Yossi is a third position over here. So far we only saw Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Here's a third position, which is Rabbi Yossi says it's enough that it should work by nivelat behema, and you can extend it to the world of milika. So if you look back in Rashi, he explains that there's a three-way machloket over here, and he says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that mitama bebeit avliya, that you cannot remove the tumat nevela from the bird through milika, he says, v'hu adin nami l'shochet of chulin treifa mitama l'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda believes that by ofot, there is no tara mitumat nevela. Rabbi Yehuda is of the belief, this is our first position, that only by behema does the shechita help you to move from a nevela to a treifa, remove the problem of tuma. Shalosh machlokot badavar. There are three positions here. The Rabbi Meir, achat shechitat of shochulin, achat milikat bikodashim, mitarot treifatan midei nevela. Rabbi Meir is the one extreme, which is that shechita and milika are always successful. That's shechitat beima, shechitat of, milikat of, all of those are successful at removing the tumat nevela. The Rabbi Yehuda, zo b'zo eina mitaheret. Neither of them are mitaheret. Not the shechita by the oaf, and not the melika by the oaf. The only thing for Rabbi Yehuda that works is shechitat behema. That's explicit in the Torah. Shechitat behema is going to change it from a nevela to a treifa. Other than that, there is no tahara mitumat nevela. Ule Rabbi Yossi, shechita mitaheret velo melika. And for Rabbi Yossi, shechita works. That means it works both by behema and by oaf. By melika, it doesn't work by kodoshim. That's the three-way machloket we see in the Braita. We're obviously focused on Rabbi Meir. Doesn't really matter whether we paskin or don't paskin like Rabbi Meir. What we see is that Rabbi Meir introduces a logic that we're looking for, which is a kal v'chomer that has a binyanav built on top of it. And the Gemara answers, velohi, that's not the case. Hatam tehave hi mishchita dechulin ka'atyan. Over here there's a machloket both in the girsa as well as how to explain the Gemara over here. Start with Rashi, and then we'll see the alternative to Rashi. Aki Garcinan, Rashi says. If you look up on the top Rashi, this is the girsa. The Yud Gimel in the Shita Mikubetzet follows up Rashi's Shita over here with Tavihi mishchita chulin lo b'binyanav yalif ele mehekesh. Two pieces to Rashi's statement over here. The first one is that it's not because over there, hatam, over there, the reason is not really from a kal v'chomer and a binyanav, it's really from a hekesh. That's one point Rashi makes, which is that the limud of Rabbi Meir is not really from a kal v'chomer and a binyanav, it's from a totally different focus, which is a limud mehekesh. And as the Rashi says, ha'chei perusho, hatam ikar time of the Rabbi Meir, yolo yelif binyanav, ele mehekesh. He doesn't really learn it from a binyanav, but rather hekesh. Zot torat ha'beima va'of. It says, Zot torat ha'beima va'of, which equates beima and of, and that's the hekesh. K'dilakaman, prepare chatat of. We'll get to on daf samach tet. Aminan, Rabbi Meir kra ashkach v'dorosh. The source of Rabbi Meir's shita is this pasuk that creates a hekesh between behema and oaf, and not from the binyan av. Ve'inami. And then the Gemara makes a secondary statement, which is, tahavi the gomer la binyan av. Let's assume you're right. And the reasoning behind Rabbi Meir's shita, which is found in the Braita, is really a binyan av. Kidigdani b'matnitin. Lo mifshata bayin. Even so, we don't have an answer to our question. Da Rabbi Meir maliko b'kodoshim mishchita t'chulin gamar. Because Rabbi Meir's learning out kodoshim from chulin. That goes back to a question that we addressed before, which is, Reb Papa and Ravina said we go butter lameid. We go after the object of the limud. It's classified as kodoshim if the destination limud is a kodoshim. Now then, Boisar Mark Zutru said, we go batar milameid. We have to that which is teaching. So Rashi says over here, the milameid is shchitat chulin, and the lameid is milikat kodoshim. So now you have partly chulin, partly kodoshim. And so there's a secondary failure in the proof over here, because even if you want to say that it's a binyanav and not a hekesh, that will only work according to Rav Papa, and not according to the mandamer that disagrees with Rav Papa. And that's what Rashi says. The manda lately, the Rav Papa, the one who doesn't hold the Rav Papa, apagav de lameid hek kodesh, even though the object, the end, limud, is towards an object that is kodesh, labrayahi, then it won't be a proof. But what you see from Rashi, and that is the deal you would make it at Rashi over here, is that efshar, that according to Rav Papa, you do have a proof over here, that a kal v'chomer can then be used through a binyanav, afterwards, many of the Rishonim disagree with that view of Rashi, both because they had an alternate girsa in the Gemara, as well as the fact that the Gemara should have been more explicit about that. You can see that clearly in Shita Mekubetzet Ot Aleph, Perisha Kutchis, Rachi Perisha, Kasha. The Gemara should have been formulated in the following manner. Hanicha the Rav Papa. That works well according to Rav Papa. Eleman de Leitle the Rav Papa Vechule. We saw this a couple of times, that the Gemara said, if itle Rav Papa, you have a kal v'chomer. The late Rav Papa, they don't have an answer to this question. We saw that, for instance, by a kal v'chomer, and then a hekesh built on top of it. We saw that with a gzera shava, that had a kal v'chomer built on top of it. The Gemara said, the itle Rav Papa, if you hold the Rav Papa, then you can make the following kal v'chomer. The late Rav Papa, then you can't make the kav v'chomer. So the Shita Mekubetzet says, according to Rashi, you should have said the same thing over here. Because the Gemara is going through two stages. Saying in one stage, according to Mar Zutra, it's a problem. Then even according to Rav Papa, there's a secondary problem, which is it's a hekesh, not a binyan av. But then the Gemara should have indicated that it's moving through those stages. It said, the late Rav Papa, the whole thing doesn't even get off the ground. The Rav Papa, if you have Rav Papa, then you have a secondary problem, which is hekesh. That's all missing from the Gemara, yet it is integral to what Rashi says over here. Then they offer the alternative. The Kach Nira the Rashbam. He says the Rashbam gives an alternative view over here. And you can see the alternate girsa in the Bali Tosfot where he says, V'dochi v'lohi tarvayu mishchitat chulin gamrei. Both of them are learned from Chulim. Perish. Malikat kodeshim b'meimetzinu mishchitat of. So that there are two levels of chulin here. The original source of shchitat beima, as well as the limud from that, which is shchitat ov. They're both worlds of chulin. It's only the third or the last stage, which is a stage of kodushim. The shiny ocha, the filu leman, the amar, batar melameid azlinan, mo de ocha, the lo azlinan, ele batar lameid. Here, even according to one who generally says we follow the milameid, the teaching one, here we go after bata lameid, came in the lekel achad lameid, the kodesh. Over here you only have one lameid with kodesh. Veikel lameid, umilameid, the chulin. The problem is that you have too much chulin in the whole picture. Aval lehel, b'milti dera papa, ikel lameid, toda, v'lameid shlamim, dainu kodoshim. So if you think back to the original case by Rav Papa, Rav Papa was built on a situation which came Shlamim from Maaser Sheni, and then Todah from Shlamim. That means in the three units that are there, you have Maaser Sheni, then you have Shlamim, and then you have Todah. For the latter two Limudim, you're totally in the world of Kodoshim. You have a Shlamim, which is in the world of Kodoshim, and it's teaching you to Todah, which is also in the world of Kodoshim. The only thing you have is the original which is Meisr Sheni, was Chulin. It means you have Chulin to Kodeshim, and then from Kodeshim to Kodeshim. That's where Rav Papa invokes this principle and says, Batarlamedas Linam, go after the destination. The destination is Shlamim, because there's only one source in Chulin. It says over here, that's not true. Over here we did Shchitat Beima Chulin to Of, Shchitat Of Chulin to Malikat Of Kodeshim. Over here, two out of the three stages are in Chulin. It means the whole first part completely is Chulin, which is Shchitat Beima to Shchitat Of, is not in the world of Kodeshim at all. Then you want to take that world of Chulin and put it into Kodeshim. From start to finish, it is Chulin, and therefore you're in a bind where you have to go Batel Hameid, because the whole entire source is Chulin, and the back end is Kodesh. I should say, either you have to formulate it this way. Even Marzutra in this case will agree you have to go Batel Hameid, because otherwise you don't have anything at all. That's the only piece that is Kodeshim here. And then the dismissal of the Gemara will be that it is a Hekesh and not a Binyanav. Or, you can see that in Otet Vav of the Shita Mekubetzet, which he says, Ze matzati birashi shel kitve yad, v'katuv tosufot al ze, ani omer, afilu l'rapapa ra'ayahi, v'shapir mishitan bayan. It is even approved to Rapapa, da afilu l'rapapa bay mihat lameid, v'chad mi lameid kodesh. You need at least one object that is the subject of a limud, and one source that is from kodesh. Dim kain the law aliba the rapapa mifshat bayin havele the meimar kadel hanichul the rapapa elamanda late rapapa. The fact that it doesn't qualify the statement or the conclusion of the Gemara shows that this conclusion is even according to rapapa. The problem here is that you have nothing that is kodeshim except for the final destination, and that's not considered to be within the world of kodeshim even according to rapapa. All right, so that's a rejection of it, and therefore we're left with a inconclusive answer here with regards to whether a Kal V'Chomer can have a Binyanav that's built on top of it. Here the Gemara consolidates, knowing that there's going to be a large problem here, which is, Davar Lameid B'Binyanav, Maushi Lameid B'Hekesh, U'Gzer Shava, U'B'Kal V'Chomer, U'B'Binyanav. So this is the whole world of Binyanav. If you start out with a Binyanav, can you build on top of a Binyanav with either Hekesh, Gzer Shava, Kal V'Chomer, or Binyanav? The reason the Gemara consolidates is because it has no answers. Binyanav is the starting point. What can you build on top of it? The Gemara says, can you build any of these items on top of it? Pashut Meha Chado. Out of those four, let's at least try to get one answer out of here, which is Mipnei Ma Amru. Why do they say Lan Bidam Kasher? That the leftover dam that went past its time, that it is Kasher. Share Lan Beimurim Kasher. Because leftover Emurim are also kasher. Lan Beimurim Kasher. Shrei Lan Babasar Kasher. Since Lan Babasar is kasher, that has a Binyanav built on top of a Binyanav. So now the Gemara wants to prove from here that you can have a Binyanav built on top of Binyanav. Tosafot does point out that from the Braita, you could then also extrapolate and create another Kal V'Chomer that would actually give you an answer to an additional item over here, which is Tema. The Tarte Tifshot came to Melameid B'Binyanav Chaviro, and came Melameid B'Kal V'Chomer. Then it also should be Melameid B'Kal V'Chomer, similar to the Kal V'Chomer that we made before with regards to Gzeir Shava, that a Hekesh to a Hekesh doesn't work either because of Ravino or Rava, but nevertheless, a Kal V'Chomer from a Hekesh does work. Then by a Gzeir Shava to Gzeir Shava, which does work, certainly a Kal V'Chomer should work on top of a Gzeir Shava. And using that same logic, you can apply it over here and say that just like by a Hekesh, the Hekesh, it doesn't work, but nevertheless, a Kal V'Chomer does succeed after a Hekesh. Then over here, by Binyanav, if a Binyanav to a Binyanav works, then certainly a Kal V'Chomer after a Binyanav should work. And the Tosafot leaves it basically as a Tzarech Iyun. The easiest answer to the question is that the Gemara is just saying from the Braita itself, you would only include at least one. True, you might be able to extrapolate from that to another item, but from the Braita itself, you only would have learned this one item. Although the Shita Mekubetzet in Ot Lamed Tet brings Rabbeinu Peretz, who had a Shita back in that Kal V'Chomer of Gzer Shava to Gzer Shava, you also need it to work, but Tchilat HaDin, that like in the case of Gzer Shava, you have to first start out with the fact that a Hekesh cannot have Gzer Shava sit on top of it, and that's what allows for that Kal V'Chomer to work. So to over here, you would need the fact that a Hekesh cannot teach through a Binyan Av in order to have this Kal V'Chomer work. And we don't have that information because a Binyanav built on top of a Hekesh, we left as a Bayit Lo Yipshit. It's a question that was not answered. And for that reason, you can't create this Kal Vakomer over here, at least based on the Shita of the Rabbeinu Peretz, based on what he says on the regards of the limud of a Kal Vakomer built on top of a Gezeres Shavu. As far as all the other items, the Gemara leaves it as inconclusive. Gemara doesn't see that there's any answer over here with regards to those. They say, at least from this Braita, let's explain it. What the Braita is speaking about is a case that we actually had earlier, which is if you have imalu, lo yerdu. If they are put on the mizbeach, they don't have to be taken off. There's a certain din with regards to the mizbeach, that items that are otherwise psulin and shouldn't have ended up in the mizbeach, if they do end up in the mizbeach, we don't take them off. The mizbeach is kolet. And that's based on Zotarat Ola, Hiola Makdav Ala Mizbeach Ola Laila, that the mizbeach, Aoleh, those things that are oleh to the mizbeach, are not yored. They don't come off the mizbeach. So now, based on that, what the Braita is telling us is, Lan Vadam. If you have dam that went past Shkia at nightfall, where it's now Pasul, if it ends up on the mizbeach, Kasher, it stays there, below yored. Why is that? She'lan Be'imurim Kasher. If you leave the Emurim past the morning, past Alot HaShachar, again, if they are not supposed to be put on the Mizbeach, but if they are put on the Mizbeach, lo yerdu, they won't go down. Lan be'Emurim kasher, how do you know that Lan be'Emurim is kasher? It's because Lan be'Basar kasher. Because Basar can go past both of those cutoff dates. And that there's a cutoff for dominating of Mizbeach is Shkia. The cutoff for getting Emurim on Mizbeach is you have the day, and then the night afterwards is the morning. The cutoff for the basar by shlamim is shnei yamim v'layla echad. So you actually have an additional day on top of that to eat the basar. So it's in a period of time when basar is kasher, that's what allows it to go on the mizbeach. That is the limud that we have here. Now, the braita continues and is explaining why all of these items are allowed to go on the mizbeach, even though alu lo yerdu. So it's giving a reason behind each one of them. Because we find instances of them being kasher, and those instances of them being kasher therefore indicate that in places where they are pasul, we still allow them to go on the mizbeach below yerdu, and they won't be taken off. This is all based in the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to see on daf pei dalet, but we also saw earlier in the mesechta that he says that zot hi ha'ula, those are three miutim, and each miut excludes one item that cannot end up on the mizbeach. That is, the miut says, prat l'nishchata b'layla, yishchata at night, it's so not kasher, it cannot go on the mizbeach. Shenishpach tama, if you spill the blood before it ever got in the mizbeach. And sheyatza tama, chutz l'klayim. Or if the dam went outside of the area of the azara. Those are three items where if they're alu, yerdu. They'll be brought down, they're not allowed on mizbeach. He has three miutim from it. We have the alternate view, which is, it has to do with whether psula b'kodesh or im psula b'kodesh. Whether psul happened in kodesh, that's where you alu lo yerdu. As opposed to the case where the psul has nothing to do with kodesh. It's something outside the world of kodesh. And there, im alu yerdu. They will come down. So that's a machloket. This is within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. And explaining why the three items that are excluded as opposed to the items that are allowed to go on the mizbeach. So the first one was lan bedam. How do we know lan bedam if it's Allah lo yered? That's because by lan emurim, it's in a time period which is kasher. The dam which cuts off at shkia, emurim are still kasher at that time. So that makes it that the dam has a wider berth in terms of its ability to be put on the mizbeach. Even though it's illegal, once you pass shkia, if it's done, we're not going to take it off. And why is that? Lan be'imurim. How do we know that lan be'imurim, if it goes on the mizbeach past its cutoff time, which is alot hashachar the next morning, how do I know you're not going to take it off? Share lan be'basar. Because the korban itself can still be consumed during that period of time. It's still a time that is kasher for the basar. So since it has a manifestation of kashrut associated with the korban, therefore lan badam and lan be'imurim, we're going to allow you to put them on the mizbeach. That's the binyanav there. Yotzei. If it left the area that is designated for the korban, ha'il v'yotzei kasher v'bama. How come I allow yotzei to end up in the mizbeach imalu lo yerdu? It's because we have a manifestation in kodoshim where yotzei is kasher. That's a bama. A bama has no boundaries. Therefore, there's no concept of yotzei by a bama. Tamei. Why is tamei? If something was tamei, which shouldn't have gone in the mizbeach and ends up on it, how come we don't take it off? Ha'il behutar babudat sibur. But without a tzibor, either tumah dechuya b'tzibor or tumah hutra b'tzibor, we have manifestations where tumah is allowed to be used in kodoshim. Chutz lizmano. What about pigul? If it ends up in the mizbeach, how do we know we don't take it off? Hawil meratzeh the pigulo. Pigul works. Even though you had a machshevet chutz lizmano, your karev matirav. You continue to process the korban, and those matnot dam that you do, and the rest of the processing you do, makes it into pigul. They are quote-unquote kshirim. The korban's not kashir because it's pigul, but nevertheless, you need those items to continue. We make believe as if they are kashir. The fact that we view them as being kshirim in order to make it and to be koveya at the pigul makes it also that if you put it on the mizbeach, it doesn't come down. Chutzlim komo, hoel v'ukash v'chutzlizmano. We know, we spent a lot of time on that in Perek Beit Shammai, that chutzlim komo has ekesh to chutzlizmano. There's a lot of commonality between them. And so too, if it ends up in the mizbeach, it can be brought down. Shikibelo psulim v'zarku daman. When you have kabbalat adam by psulim, or zrikat adam ayidei psulim, then also, if it's Allah, lo yered. Whoa, where do you ever find that manifestation where psulim are allowed to do avoda in the mikdash? So v'harach psulim, the chazul avodat tzibur. The case where the psul is something that disqualifies the individual, but by avodat tzibur, they wouldn't be disqualified. And what the Gemara is hinting to is, a Kohen Tameh. A Kohen Tameh is precluded from doing avoda in the Mikdash. He is like a Zar. He may not be exactly like a Zar for exactly this reason over here, but he is treated like a Zar. A Kohen Tameh, and he cannot perform avoda in the Mikdash. But what happens if he does perform avoda? Still problematic. But nevertheless, if it goes on the Mizbeach, lo yered. Because there's a case where a Kohen Tameh is a use, and that's Tumah. Hutra v'tzibur, Tuma d'chuya v'tzibur, where Kohen Tameh can perform the avoda. Since there is that manifestation, then we will allow it im Allah lo yered. It doesn't come off the mizbeah. And now the Gemara asks the basic question, which is very problematic inside of this limud of the Braita. V'chi danin, davar shelo v'akshiro, midavar shv'akshiro. How can you learn from something which is completely okay to something that's not okay? How can you learn, for instance, look to use Yotzei, where by Bama, the concept of Yotzei doesn't exist. That's why it's kasher over there. The reason it's kasher is because Yotzei is not relevant. Now you're going to tell me from that, we're going to learn to a case of Yotzei where there are boundaries, like the Azara, the walls of the Azara. Now you're going to tell me, oh, well, the walls of the Azara, even if you cross that boundary, it's not as bad as you think, because by Bama, there is no Yotzei. There's no Yotzei by Bama, because it's not relevant. That's why there's no Yotzei. Now you're going to say to me, oh, something that's not relevant will be impactful by something that is relevant, and similarly by the case of lan, badam, lan be'murim, lan be'basar. What is the lan be'basar? Basar is kasher then because it's not a time period where it's expired. That's why it's still kasher, because you're allowed to eat it. B'shnei yamim v'layla echad. How can you prove anything from the fact that basar is in a window where it's mutar to the fact that dam is expired already? Be'murim have expired already. Why should that be meaningful? Something that is irrelevant, how can you prove something to something that is relevant? It just doesn't make sense. So that's what the Gemara says. And then the answer is, Tano, Rabbi Yehuda learns it, Mizo Torat Ha'ola, Riba Samichle. It's because of the Pasuk that says, Zo Torat Ha'ola, that Ho'ola means those that are Ho'leh, Lo Yered. It's a Riboy of the Pasuk. These are all Asmachtot, what we brought you here, trying to give reasons why the three things Rabbi Yehuda picked that are not imole yoreid, if they have to come back down, as opposed to the other items, why they're not. So here it's trying to give you some esmachta midrabanan as to why there is that difference. But the truth is, there are two limudim that Rabbi Yehuda has. There's one limud that says, ola, anything that goes up, stays up. And there's a separate limud which says, he has a miut, three miutim. Whereas there's zot, he, and ha ola, those three miutim tell you the three things that don't go. And that's the answer to the question. The answer to how Rabbi Yehuda gets the shita is, everything's included, with the exception of these three items. That's it. What was written in the Braita is nice, but that's not really the source of Rabbi Yehuda's position. The question now is, what happened here? Did the Gemara reject the Braita? Seemingly so. Gemara says the Braita is not real, it's just an asmachta. What you're missing here, which we've discussed numerous times, is the word Ella. Generally, if you have the word Ella, that indicates a complete rejection of the Gemara by the Gemara of that which is said here. When it doesn't have the word Ella, means that the Gemara is saying that it may not be relevant, but it doesn't mean what you said before is completely incorrect. Now that means, or the nafkamina here would be, whether you can have a binyanav, the binyanav. From the Pashtuta Gemara, it sounds like we rejected the whole limud in the Braita. No binyanav, mi binyanav. The only problem is, you go back to Tosfot, on Mem Zayin Amud Bet, Tosfot, Divrei Amatkel Ma, says over there, Ma Nitinah Bats Moshe HaKohen. He says, Perish Bakudris. Rashi explains this, Mechtiv Etzpa Gabi Shemin. Since Etzpa is written by Shemin, V'yaliv Dam Minayu. And therefore he learns blood from it. This is by the note of the Mitzora. He has Etzpa that's written by Shemin, and then he wants to apply that to the Dam as well. He says, V'teima. That's a hekesh built on top of a binyanav. And that clearly says, and we have no answer to that. Tosfot says, clearly, a hekesh built on top of a binyanav doesn't work. Venerally, I'll tell you what I think it is. It is, l'kicha minitina, nami have a binyanav. It's another binyanav. V'afina minitina didei, v'lo minitina disher korbanot. You're learning it internally from the dam and not from other korbanot. Ulekaman amrinan dialfin and shafir binyanav binyanav. And he says later on we're going to say that a binyanav to a binyanav works. Tosfot concluded in the Gemara here that binyanav does work on top of a binyanav, and therefore back on Mem Zayin Amud Bet he discards Rashi's view because that's a hekesh bin on top of binyanav where we don't have an answer, and he breaks it into a binyanav on top of binyanav. He says, oh, we have an answer. Binyanav over binyanav works. But that didn't seem like it from the Gemara. What you see clearly from Tosfot is, the Gemara in the end rejects the Braita from the standpoint that it doesn't teach you what it thought it taught you, but it doesn't reject the idea that the Braita put a binyanav on top of a binyanav. It would have worked. Had the logic been good, it would have worked. They reject the logic, they don't reject principle, the binyanav on top of a binyanav does work. So that's a slightly different conclusion than you would have assumed, but that is the Balei Tosfot's view over here. As opposed to the view of the Pashtuta Gemara, which is that the Gemara is rejecting this completely. Alright, now we're off this topic. We did all of the table of 4x4, all of these limudim, and now we're done with that piece. Now we move back to the Mishnah, the first Mishnah here, dealing with Parsir Shiyom Kippurim, and the Parim Vesirim and Israfim, about which it said both of them, that Shari Adam, Hayishofech, Hayisod Maravi Shom Mizbech HaChitzon. You pour the remaining dam from the matno dam onto the western yisod of the mizbeach hachitzon, and the Gemara is going to look for my time. What's the reason for that? As background to this, there are three times that the psukim tell us some information which is important. The first of which is by the par kohen mashiach. Par kohen mashiach is one of the parim hanisrafim. By the par kohen mashiach, it says, after you finish with the dam, it says, those are the matnot dam on the mizbeach hazahav. And then it says, that kol dam apar, the remaining blood, ishpoch, ayisod mizbeach haula, asher petach omoed. You're going to pour the remaining blood into the yisod of the mizbeach haula, which is the mizbeach hachitzor, asher petach omoed, which is at the doorway to the Ol Moed, or faces the doorway to the Ol Moed. So from that, you learn a number of things. The first of which is, where does the Shari Adam go? It goes on Mizbach HaOlah. That's explicit in the Pasuk over here. It goes on Mizbach HaOlah. The second thing you learn is, which Yisod does it go on? It says, Asher Petach Ol Moed. At the entranceway to the Ol Moed. Well, the entranceway to the Ol Moed is on the eastern side. That's where the doorway is. Facing the Mizbach, that means it's facing the western side of the Mizbach. So that would indicate that you put it on Yisod HaMa'aravi. You put it on the western side of the Mizbeach HaKitzon, because that's what faces the Petach Ol Moed. Those are the two things you would learn from here. Our Gemara does not say that. Our Gemara says something else. It says, my taima, Amar Kra, al Yisod Mizbeach HaOla, Asher Petach Ol Moed, ho, the Pug Operation, the one that you bump into first. So I mentioned this when we read the Mishnah there, that the way to know which yisod you're going to put the blood on is determined by which one you hit first. When you're exiting from the Ol Moed, the yisod that you're going to hit first is the yisod HaMa'aravi. Because you're coming from the west, you're walking now east, so the first thing you're going to bump into is the western side of the Mizbeach. On the other hand, when you are processing Korbanot on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, then you're either on the floor around the Mizbeach HaChitzon, or you've begun up the ramp of the Mizbeach HaChitzon. The ramp of the Mizbeach HaChitzon is on the southern side of the Mizbeach. So when you descend from the Mizbeach, you're on the southern side of the Mizbeach. That means that you're going to put Dam on the southern Yisod. That's the closest one to you. That would be the easiest way to understand it. So that is Hagu Depoga Bereisha. That's the answer. How do you know which Yisod you put it on? The one that you come first. But if you note here, it's both in the Od Zion of the Shita Mikubetzet, and you can see it in Rashi. Rashi does not have this Girsa. Rashi's answer to the question of my Taima is, Amarkra Yisod Mizbeach HaOla Asher Petach HaMoe, period. It does not have the terminology Hagu Depoga Bereisha. That's not in the Girsa of Rashi. That's another Girsa. And the Baal HaTosafot explain why that is. What is the reason that the one that you bump into first is the one that you put the Dam on? That's a principle called Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvot. You have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, you don't pass it by. You take the first opportunity you have to do it. The example we have, or we learned this before, is regards to Talit and Tefillin. When you have a case where you're going to put on your Tefillin in the morning, if you bump into your Tefillin first, then you're supposed to put them on first. Even though technically we put on our talit, which is tadir, before the tefillin, which are more kadosh. But if you actually bump into your tefillin first, and that we discussed at the time, might be problematic according to Mishnah Berurah, if you have them in a room, and you're going to pass your tefillin to get to your talit, that you might have to actually put on your tefillin before you put on your talit, because ein mavirin ala mitzvot. So that's the concept, which is if you bump into a mitzvah, you don't pass it by. You know, most people have their tefillin and talit in a single bag. So there's no mavirin ala mitzvot because they're both here in front of you. You don't have to pass, but you have to make sure that your talit is more to the opening than its tefillin, which is generally easy to do. The tefillin are smaller. You push them to the bottom of the bag or the back of the bag, then generally you'll bump into your talit first. That's the concept of ein mavirin ala mitzvot. So that's what's being invoked over here. How the Pug of Eresha is using the principle of ein mavirin ala mitzvot. And so what Baal HaTosafot will point out is that Rashi does not accept it over here. And he says there's good evidence to Rashi's position over here based on the Gemara later, for instance, which says, Lamud Satum Mina Mifurash. By the Yisod Dromi, it's never mentioned that you put the Shari Adam on the Yisod Dromi. It's only mentioned here with regards to the Chatot Apnimiyot, that you put it on the Yisod Mizbach Ola, Petach Ol Moed. So the Gemara later on is going to say, Lamud Satum Mina Mifurash. Mifurash is a reference to here, the Chatot Apnimiyot, to the Parkoin Mashiach. That Satum is a regular Chatat. How can you call one Mifurash and one Satum if the reasoning is the same or common between them, which is Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvot? If that's the reason, then one of them is not more Mifurash than the other. The only way to say one is more Mifurash than the other is to say one's learned from the Pasuk, and the other one we're then trying to extrapolate from that. He says that's evidence that Rashi is right. He brings other proofs too that Rashi's right, but then he goes on to explain why Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvot does not apply here. It's very important. Tosafot, Beish Lamar, Doloshayach Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvot, Mitzvot is only a concept when you have two mitzvot and you're trying to decide priority, precedence, hierarchy. That's when Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvot is invoked. Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvot is not a standalone concept. It's not a standalone principle by which if you have Aval Likvo Makom Ashvichat Shiraim to tell you where you do the Shvichat Shiraim, Lo Kabin and Mehai Taima. You can't solve it from that reasoning. You'll have to go likra. But we're not for the fact that the pasuk told you. Over here, you're going to do the mitzvah of pouring the Sharia Dam on the Yisod HaMizbeach. That's not a question. You're going to do the mitzvah. You're not competing with any other mitzvah. There's no higher grade precedence over here. Just a question of where you do it. That, we do not invoke the principle of Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvot. Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvot is only a principle when I had to choose between two mitzvot. Then I have to say, whichever one you bump into first, you got to deal with first. But here, when you want to decide where you do a mitzvah, Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvot is not a reason, or is not enough of a solution to the problem to understand where you're going to do it, and that you need the pasuk for. That's how the Baal HaTosafot solved the problem. As to why Rashi eliminated this from the Girsa, Rashi's Girsa does not have Ho Depoga Bereisha. Now, the Gemara moves on to a Braita. The Braita is premised on the fact that in the Psukim, with regards to the Chataot, if you remember, you have in the Parshiot that are found in Perek Dalet of Vayikra, we've dealt with this so many times that hopefully it's familiar now. The first one is Par Kohen Mashiach. The second one is the Par Lam Dovashel Tzibor. The third one is the Seir HaNasi. And then the fourth and fifth, which are really one, is the Chatat HaYachid. One by Seira, one by Kibsa. So that's the Korbanot that are mentioned there. For the first three of them, the Torah specifies where you put the Sheirei Adam. We already read the pasuk by the Parkoi Mashiach. which is called Adam Aparishpoch in some is Bachola Asher Petach Omoed. By the Paralam Dobashel Tzibor, it also says the same thing, which is Yudchet Umin Adam Itain Al Karnot Amizbeach Asher Lifnei Hashem Sherbo Omoed. It's called Adam Ishpoch Al Yisom is Bachola Asher Petach Omoed. Also written by the Paralam Dobashel Tzibor. Then a third time it's mentioned by the Seir of the Nasi, where it says, Lekach ha-goyen midam ha-chatat b'etzbo, natan al-karno mizbach ha-ola, v'etamo yishpoch ha-yisod mizbach ha-ola. So here you have three times the Torah tells you that you're going to put the Shari Adam on the mizbach ha-ola. The mizbeach ha-chitzon is location for the Shari Adam. It's found by the Parkoin Mashiach, Palam Dov Shel Tzibor, and then by the Seir Hanasi. And what the Breita is going to do is try to understand why three times I need you to tell me Mizbach Ha'ola. Mizbach Ha'ola, which the Breita is going to say, seems unnecessary, and therefore it's going to come to conclusions about it. Tanu Rabbanan. Ha'yisod Mizbach Ha'ola. The fact that it says Mizbach Ha'ola, velo yisod Mizbach Ha'pnimi. The first yisod of Mizbach Ha'ola comes to teach you that it's the Mizbach Ha'chitzon where you place the Shari Adam, and not the Mizbeach Apnimi. El Yisod Mizbeach Ola. The second one comes to teach you. Ein lo Yisod Apnimi Atzmo. That comes to teach you that there is no Yisod Mizbeach. By the Mizbeach Azav, it doesn't have a Yisod. You don't build it with a Yisod. The third one comes to teach you. El Yisod Mizbeach Ola. Tein Yisod the Mizbeach Shel Ola. That you should give a Yisod to the Mizbeach Ola. I will learn it like Rashi now, and then we'll deal with the alternative views. Rashi says that means that all korbanot require that the Shari Adam end up on the Yisod Mizbeach Ha'ola, which is that even by the korban Ola by itself, the Torah never tells you what happens to the Shari Adam. Never tells you what to do with the Shari Adam. Never tells you about the Shari Adam by an Ola. And what it's teaching you over here is, Tein Yisod Mizbeach Shel Ola. Any korban that is brought, the residual blood is placed on the Yisod Mizbach Ha'ola. That's what the third one teaches you. So that's what the Breita says. And then Breita says, O'eino Ela. Maybe that's not what it's going to teach you. Ela mi zvacha shelola yehei l'yisod. Again, I'm going to explain like Rashi. From the korban that is brought, you must make the matnot dam where there is a yisod. So Rashi says over here, it means the alternative that the Breita is offering for what this yisod mizbach ha'ola teaches you. The first way is to teach you that other korbanot require yisod mizbeach ha'chitzon. The second possibility is that it's going to teach you that when you do the matnot dam of the ola, shtayin shen arba, they have to be done in locations where there is a yisod. Now there is one location where there is no yisod. It's coming up. We're going to do this in a couple of daf, which is that on the southeastern side of the mizbeach, there is no yisod. We'll see the machloket both in the Gemara as well as in the Rishonim as to what that means. But suffice it to say, in that corner, there definitely is no yisod in the southeastern corner. And what this would be teaching you is that when you do the matnot dam of the ola, shtayim shein arba, they have to be done on the dromit maravit, as well as the tzponit mizrachit. Those are the two corners you're going to do it, because those corners have yisod in both directions. And that's the reason that you would do the matnot dam there. That's the possible alternative limud. Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yishmael, Kal v'chomer. You don't need the second limud because it is a kal v'chomer. Ma shirayim shein mechaprim. Shirayim which are not mechaper, they're not part of the kapara. To unim yisod, they require yisod a mizbeach. Chilat ola shem mechaperet. Enu din shetuna yisod. The beginning of the ola, which is the real matnotam, which are mechaper, they certainly are required to be done where there is a yisod. You don't need a posuk to tell you that the shtei metanot shein arba by the ola should be done where there is a yisod. That's a kal v'chomer from the shirayim. If the shirayim require yisod, then certainly the ikar matnot dam require yisod. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva gives an alternate kal v'chomer, which is ma shirayim shein mechaprim ve'ein ba'im lekapara. Number one is they are not mechaper, and number two is ein ba'im lekapara. They don't even come for kapara, which is the addition that Rabbi Akiva adds. The Gemara on tomorrow's daf will ask, my nafkamino, what's the difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? They are similarly saying the same kapachomer, which is that shirayim don't have a din of kapara. Tuna yisod, nevertheless, it requires yisod. Tchilat ola shemechaperet uba'al kapara. Tchilat ola that comes to be mechaper and ba'al kapara. It is mechaper, and it's coming to be mechaper in udin shetuna yisod. Certainly, it should need yisod. So, in case, if that's the case, matam alomar el yisod mizbach haola, then what do we do with the third mizbach haola? That is 10 yisod, the mizbacha shalola. According to Rashi, means that you have to then put any korban, the remaining blood will go to the yisod ha-mizbeach. That's the end of the braita. Now the Gemara is coming back to discuss the braita. Amar mar, el yisod mizbach haola, velo yisod mizbeach ha-mipnimi. That you put it on the yisod mizbach haola, not on the yisod mizbeach ha-pnimi. The Gemara says, ha-mibayle le-gufe. I need that to teach me the din in general. How do I know that the dam from the chatat ha-pniyot ends up on the mizbeach chitzon? If you're telling me that it's extraneous, yisod mizbach haola, mizbach haola is extraneous three times, then how do I even know the din that when you bring a korban in the mizbeach ha-pnimi that you have to put the dam on the mizbeach haola? I need the information just to tell me that. I need one of those psukim to give me the core din. How can you say now all three of them are available for a limud when I need one of them for the core din? If you do that, that means the first one's needed to tell you chatot ha-pnimiyot, you put that on mizbeach haola. That means that then the second one will have to tell you that on the Mizbeach Chitzon, not the Mizbeach HaPnimi. And then the third one would be to teach you that the Mizbeach HaPnimi doesn't have a Yisod. But that means that you don't have the last Limud, which is other Korbanot, require that you put the Sheri Adam on Yisod on Mizbeach Chitzon. You don't have that Limud anymore because now you're pushed back one because you need one of them to teach you the Kor Din. So Gemara says, Me'asher Petach Omoed Nafko. That is because you can learn it out of El Petach Omoed. You could have just said, Kol Adam HaParishpoch, El Yisod HaMizbeach Asher Petach HaMoed. You don't need the word Ola in there, because the only Mizbeach that is by the Petach HaMoed is the Mizbeach Chitzon. Mizbeach HaZav is in the Eichal. It's not Petach HaMoed. So you don't need the word HaOla. And given that, you have now all three of them being extraneous. All three of the psukim that say Mizbeach HaOla are available for Limud. That's the logic of the Braita. Then it says, El Yisod Mizbach HaOla, Tein Yisod Nimizbeach Shelola. That you should give a Yisod to Mizbeach HaOla. De'isa kadakta ki dichtiv, because if you think it should be literally as it is written, why would you need Mizbach HaOla by the Seir Nasi at all? There's no reason for the Mizbach HaOla by the Seir Nasi, because it's so obvious. Because if you think you're going to take it literally, l'shirayim, you need the pasuk to tell you that the shirayim goes on the mizbeach chitzon. Shirayim habrai avibuhu. The shirayim of the chatot ha-pnimiyot, you do on the mizbeach chitzon. The seir of the nasi is a korban that is brought on the mizbeach chitzon. So now you're telling me, I need you to tell me, a yisom mizbach ha-ola. You have to put that which comes from the seir nasi on the mizbeach ha-ola. Had you just written it, El Yisod HaMizbeach, you wouldn't have known which Mizbeach to put it on. The logic is, if the Chatot HaPnimiyot that are done on Mizbeach HaZav, their leftover dam is put on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, then the Seir Nasif, who is processed on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, certainly should be put on the Yisod Mizbeach HaChitzon. Why do you have to tell me El Yisod Mizbeach HaOla? That is completely unnecessary over here. B'chiteima, so you want to say that the Torah is doing fancy footwork, the Apik Meipich, that you flip it around. Debray legavai, something that's brought on the outer mizbeach, then the rest of the dam is put on the mizbeach apnimi, and vice versa. The gavai, those that are done inside, libray, go outside. So that's what you would have thought. Had you not written mizbeach haola by the nasir and nasi, you would have thought, the chatot apnimiyot, their dam, the leftover dam goes on mizbeach chitzon. So what should I do for the seir nasi? Well, since it's processed on the mizbeach chitzon, do the opposite and put it on the yisod mizbeach apnimi. You don't have the Yisod for the Pnimi. The answer to the question as to why it's extraneous by the Seir Nasi is because it's completely unnecessary. I would have known this information from the two times that it said it by the Kohar Bekohen Mashiach and Parlam Darshan Tzibor. I would have already known that the Seir Nasi is going to go on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So all I need is you to tell me that the Shari Adam go on the Yisod HaMizbeach. And I would have known it's Mizbeach HaChitzon. Number one, the Pnimi goes to the Chitzon. Number two is there is no Yisod for the Pnimi. At this point, there's nowhere else to put it except the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Oh, Enu Ela Mizbeach Shalola, Yehel is Yisod. So this is what the Brayta said before, that the possibility that you're going to put it on the Yisod, or give a Yisod, that the Korban Olah will require that the primary Matnot be placed in areas where there is a Yisod. Miktiv El Yisod Olah. It doesn't say that you're going to place it to the Yisod HaOlah. El Yisod Mizbeach HaOlah Ktiv. The Gemara says, how would you even have a Hava Mina like this? The Pasuk doesn't say a Yisod HaOlah. Doesn't say you put it by the Yisod for the Olah. It says El Yisod Mizbeach HaOlah. It's in the Yisod of the Mizbeach HaOlah. As Rashi says over here, Ida Rash Leilitein Torat Shvichat Shirayim L'chol Domim HaChitzonim. If you're going to say that the limud here is that all damim that go on Mizbeach Chitzon should then end up on the Yisod Mizbeach HaOlah, Shapir Ktiv Mizbeach HaOlah. That's why it writes Mizbeach HaOlah, Litein Torat Yisod Mizbeach HaOlah. To give the din of Yisod to anything that goes on the Mizbeach HaOlah, the Chol Damim and Nizrakim Alav. Ela'i L'tchilat Damim Kadarashle. If you're going to say it's speaking about the initial damim, the Matnot Shtayim Shener Ba of the Olah, to Lekka L'meimar Litein Torah K'neged HaYisod L'Mizbeach HaOlah, the Chol Damav. And then it should have just written, El Yisod HaOlah. And you can't then say it's 10 Yisod L'Mizbeach HaOlah, because it's just not true that all damim that are placed on the Mizbeach HaChitzon end up by the Yisod. Because we know the Chatat is put on the Arba Karnot HaMizbeach. Not all of those have a Yisod underneath them. And therefore the word Mizbeach is unnecessary if you think you're speaking about the primary Matnot Dam, versus if you say that it's going to be for that old Korbanot need to end up on the Yisod Mizbeach HaChitzon, then you can speak about making the Mizbeach into Yisod for all the Damim. So where it says, Iktiv a Yisod Olah, had it written in Yisod Olah, that wouldn't have worked because Havamina Biskifa to Yisod, on the upright part of the Yisod. Hashiktiv a Yisod Mizbeach Olah, Agagod Yisod. So that teaches you that it goes on the ceiling of the Yisod. So just from the structure of the Mizbeach starts with a wider base that narrows as it goes up. We're going to spend a lot of time on this coming up in the Masechta. So here, the Yisod is the widest part of the base. It's an Amah Tol, and then it cuts in an Amah. So there are two parts to the Yisod. The Yisod is built of an Amah by an Amah. There's a step there that is an Amah deep and Amah high. That's basically what you have with the Yisod that's going around the Mizbeach. That Yisod, had you told me Yisod HaOlah, I would have thought that the Dam must be placed not on the top of the step, but on the wall of the step, the face of the step, is where you need to put the Dam, and that's not true. The Dam has to go on the roof of the Yisod. The Sharia Dam, if you pour it onto the Yisod Mizbeach, it's onto the Gago Shel Mizbeach. And that's what the Yisod Mizbeach HaOlah teaches you, that it's got to be on top of the Gag.
And that is because there's this correlation between the Yisod and the Mizbeach. That means treat the Yisod like a Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach itself, or the primary part of the Mizbeach, is the top of the Mizbeach. And so too, by the Yisod, the primary location is the Gag HaYisod.
That's why the Gemara says here, you couldn't have just said a Yisod HaOlah, because a Yisod HaOlah would have given you the wrong impression. It would have meant El means for the face of the Yisod, the face of the step. And that's not what the Torah wants. Torah wants you to get El Yisod Mizbeach HaOlah, means on the step, on the base of the Mizbeach HaOlah. And therefore, the language had to be El Yisod Mizbeach HaOlah. Once you've done that, then you can then still say, maybe the possibility, what's being said here is, yeah, it's got to go on the roof of the Yisod, but it's also teaching us the din, that the Matnot Dam of the Olah, Shtayim Shein Arba, should also be in a place where there is a Yisod. And that might be the possibility of what we're going to use the third Yisod HaMizbeach HaOlah for, to teach you that the Matnot Dam of the Olah have to be placed in a place where there is a Yisod, and not to teach you that other Korbanot, according to Rashi, require Yisod Mizbeach HaOlah. And as the Balei Tosfot point out over here, it doesn't mean that when you do the primary Matnot Dam on the Mizbeach, that you have to do them on the Gag HaYisod, but rather you can't do them on the upright face of the Yisod. What it means that you require Gag HaYisod means that the Matnot Dam have to be done on the corners of the Mizbeach in a way in which they will then drip down and then fall on the Gag HaYisod, but not that you actually put them on the Gag HaYisod, but rather that you put them on the corners and then they go down to the Gag HaYisod. And he proves that from the Gemara later on, where he shows that the Gemara seems to indicate that an Olah should not be placed on the Gaga Yisod, but rather on the corners of the Mizbeach. In order to reconcile the two Gemaras, it says that when it means over here, Gaga Yisod, doesn't mean literally on the Gaga Yisod, it means on the corners that will then end up at the Gaga Yisod, or that the Gaga Yisod will still be classified as being on the Mizbeach for the Olah, but not that that's the proper location or primary location for the primary Madodam of the Olah. So now, the Gemara is now back to the point of explaining the Braita. That's what the Gemara is doing all along, is explaining why the Braita is saying what it is saying. Now the Braita is in a bind, which says, I don't know what to do with the last Yisod Mizbeach Olah, because it teaches me that all Korbanot need to end up on Yisod Mizbeach HaChitzon, or is it teaching me that the primary Madodam of the Olah need to end up in an area or corners where there is a Yisod. And then it comes up to, that's Amar Rabbi Shmuel. Gag Yisod lo malekra. When it comes to the Gaga Yisod, why do I need a pasuk? Kal v'chomer hu, it is a kal v'chomer. Uma shayirei chatat she'ena michaperet. When it comes to the residual dam of a chatat, which does not provide kapara, te'una gag Yisod, it requires the dam be placed on the Gaga Yisod. Tchilat ola shemechaperet, the beginning of the processing the dam ola, which is mechaper, eno din shetuna gag yisod, then certainly has to be in a place where the blood will drip down and land on the roof of the yisod, meaning that has to be in a corner where there is a yisod. Amar Rabbi Akiva, uma sheirei chatat she'en mechaprim ve'en ba'im lechaper tuna gag, sheirei chatat, which are not mechaper, and they don't come to be mechaper, they require tuna gag yisod, they require that it goes on the top of the yisod. Tchilat olah shemechaperet uba'al lechaper. When it comes to the beginning of an olah, which is mechaper, and it's coming to be mechaper, enu din shetuna gag yisod, there certainly it requires the gag yisod. Or in essence, what the Gemara now is doing, given their new explanation of the Braita, they're just showing you what the Kal v'chomer of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are doing, which is, at this point we're saying, the Braita says, Gaga Yisod. Gaga Yisod, maybe it means that the Tchilat Olah has to go on corners where there is a Gaga Yisod. Or maybe it means all Korbanot need Yisod Mizbeach. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel both come on and say it's a Kal v'chomer. I don't need you to tell me about primary Matanot needing Yisod and Mizbeach, because that's obvious. If Shiraim required, then certainly primary Matanot required. Even though the Gemara before said that Kufya Kaparo regards to Olah, that's only in contrast to a Chatat. Gemara says that when it contrasts the chatat to olah, it says that a chatat is ba'al chaper, and olah is not ba'al chaper. But that's not true. We know that the olah is mechaperet on bitul asay, or olah v'nitak li'asay. That the Gemara answered earlier, that's kufya kapara. That's not the primary purpose of the korban. It is a side effect. It's a sidebar, the fact that it provides that kapara. So when you're contrasting it with a chatat, then that's not classified as a korban kapara. Then on a standalone basis, an olah is mechaper in the end. Versus the shirei adam, which have no connection to kapara whatsoever, the primary olah does provide kapara, even though it may not be the primary purpose, it still does provide kapara, and therefore you can have this limud over here. Imke matam alomar, yisod mizbach ha'olah, ten yisod, the mizbach shel olah. That you should give a yisod to the Mizbach Ha'olah. It means the only thing you can do with that extra Yisod Mizbach Ha'olah is teach you that all Korbanot need Yisod Mizbach Ha'olah. So that is the conclusion of the Braita. Again, tomorrow we'll finish up the Braita discussing what is the Nafkamina between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel's positions. But that's how to read the Braita. Now, the Gemara went through and told you how to read the Braita, and we read it according to Rashi. The Baal Yad Tosafot over here do not like Rashi's explanation, partly because of the fact that by many of the korbanot, it explicitly tells you that the shirei adam has to go a yisod mizbeach. And in addition to the fact that the Gemara for the fact that you require yisod mizbeach by other korbanot brings alternate psukim as the source, and he brings numerous other instances where we have alternate limudim that seem to give us this information, and therefore what Rashi says over here, and therefore he's bothered by Rashi's statement over here that the ten yisod, the mizbeach, means that all other korbanot, now we know that there matno dam go on the mizbeach chitzon, that they require matno dam on the mizbeach chitzon. And therefore, why do you need a limud over here to teach you about shar korbanot? So therefore, he brings two alternative views over here. He brings the view of the Rabbeinu Baruch, who suggests that The meaning of the Braita is not that ten yisod the Mizbeach comes to teach you that all korbanot require sheri dam ha-yisod, but rather just the olah. It's speaking that simply just the olah, and that was the alternative between the Braita. The Braita is saying, is it coming to teach me that the olah requires sheri adam be placed on the yisod ha-mizbeach? Or is the pasuk coming to teach me that the primary matnot of the olah are required to be in a place where there is yisod? It's all in the world of olah, and that's the only thing that we're addressing over here is olah. Because by the chataot, for instance, it's mentioned explicitly. I just read you by the psukim that after Sayyar Nasi, we have the chataot ha-yachid. Over there it says, v'lakach roi midama betzvo, v'atan al-korno mizbach ha-olah, v'et kol dama yishpoch ha-yisod ha-mizbeach. So it's explicit in the pasuk that you have to put the shari adam ha-yisod ha-mizbeach by the chatat. Why do I need 10 yisod shom mizbeach to come here all other korbanot? It's here explicit by the chatat. So therefore the Rabbeinu Baruch basically takes up Rashi's shita, it just narrows it, and says it's just speaking about on olah. It's not speaking about all korbanot, it's speaking about on olah. And the question of the Braita is, when I have that last mizbeach olah, does it mean put primary matnot of the olah on the two corners, shein arba, where there is yisod, or it means put the shari adam of the olah on the yisod mizbeach ha-kitzon? He does then bring a third alternative here, in which he says that the decision of the Braita, it's what Rashi says, is the other side of the controversy here, which is that the primary limit of the Gemara is, you should put the Matnot Dam, the primary Matnot Dam, on the corners where there is a Yisod. All Matnot Dam end up being drawn in a location that has Yisod below, of course, with the exception of the Chatat, which has to be done misaviv, around entirely, meaning on all four corners. And therefore, by definition, you're going to put it on a corner that doesn't have a yisod. That's the primary idea. And then the Gemara says, well, how do you know it's coming for that? Maybe it's coming to teach you they have to be placed on the yisod, exactly like the shirayim, not on the mizbeach, and then drip down to the yisod, rather directly on the yisod, the same way that you pour the shirayim into the piping on the yisod, so too, the matnot dam would be directly on the yisod itself. Or the other alternative view is that it's like the primary view of the Rabbeinu Baruch, that it would be limited to olah and not to all korbanot, that you would say that they required you to sow in the area where you're going to do the matnot dam. That's the alternative that the Bright is offering in that third view that's brought in the Balei HaTosafot. Those are the tzutzadim, according to that, and then the Gemara rejects it through the Kal Vachomer, Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Yishmael. So that's a third way to learn it. So those are the three different ways to learn what the question of the Bright is. The question on the right is, regards to the last yisod mizbach ha'olah, from the three that we had, the Kepar Kohen Mashiach, Parim Davar Shetzibah, and Seir Nasi, what does that third one teach me? Because there's uncertainty about it. And then Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva direct us to say, don't learn it the second option the Braita gives, learn it by the first option of the Braita. And again, for Rashi, that means that you have to put the Shari Adam of all korbanot on the yisod of mizbeach ha'chitzon. The Rabbeinu Baruch, it means that you have to put the Shari Adam of the Olah on the Yisod Mizbeach HaChitzon. And for the third view that the Balei Tosafot bring, it means that you have to put the Matnot Dam of Shtein Shen Arba, of Korbanot, that require that they must be placed in an area where there is Yisod below that corner, and that is the Marvit Dromit and the Tzfonit Mizrachit. Those are the two corners you use for the Shtein Shen Arba. Okay, we're going to stop here, 15 lines down, in the middle of Nun Bet, Amud Aleph.